Hi everyone, Ben here. I'd just like to take a moment to thank some of our patrons. Joshua Wilson, Rhianna Knoll, Cynthia J. Stewart, Morgan, Julian Plumador, Xenia McAllister, Chris Schneidmiller, Ryan Frazier, Dan Pratt, Sean. Thank you all. We really appreciate your support. If you'd like to join them, go to www.patreon.com/rustyquill and take a look at our rewards.
Welcome to episode 81 of the Rusty Quill Gaming Podcast. I'm your host and GM, Alex Newell, and with me today I have...
Bryn Monroe.
Lydia Nicholas.
Ben Meredith.
And who are you playing?
Hamid Salah Harun Altahan.
Sasha Rackett.
Grizzopdrick Act Amsterdam.
And the nightmare that is my campaign continues.
Yay!
As you bounce.
It would be a nightmare, except you don't let us sleep.
So, you know what?
Just a grinding, half-awake, exhausted...
It's a horrifying waking dream.
You're making us live through your night job.
Look, I'm years, better for it,
years
and you will
oh,
be
no.
too.
Yeah.
This is it.
You're going to become pale and eat only butter and salt.
Speaking of which, how's the undead thing going for you?
Loving that.
Greasy.
So, yes, long story short,
sticky blood.
You're in Prague. You managed to defeat Kaspka, the evil necromancer. Meritocratic forces in league with the Cult of Mars are apparently...
Not nice people.
No, they're not. But they are sort of disbanding the university, sort of. But right. After your conversation with Oscar Wilde, you were allowed to head off and go to sleep.
Yeah!
As long as you don't leave the university grounds. But there are plenty of halls. There are lots of empty rooms.
Let's go visit the Olivers and have a sleepover party. No?
No.
Hammond does not do that.
All right. So, it's going to be, so try and sleep. Sasha tries to go out the window and find a high point to rest in, which is what she's done before. But at the point where she realises opening the window is hanging out like a mile
hundreds of feet.
And there's all these spinning things... And the geography of where she was thinking of climbing seems to continue to shift.
Well, the awkward thing is you'll climb to the highest point you can, and then somehow you're actually at quite a low point as it cycles through and ends up at the bottom of the university.
She peeks out of the window, takes us all in, and then...
It's probably high enough.
Back in and shuts the window.
So, yes, you're given sort of free rein to choose where you want to sleep. There's plenty of places that people can point you to, but you are explicitly sort of forbidden from leaving the grounds. Not by Wild, the Mars people kind of... are a bit pushy still.
Well, I'm going to raid the kitchen and take it all back to my room.
It's easily done.
Good.
Everyone is
Hammond
quite occupied.
Hammond sleeps first. He'll eat later. Yep.
You all sleep. Everybody, give me will save.
Yeah.
Will save.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Aren't you a paladin?
Yeah, I have a big modifier. I still rolled a 4. 10.
10 from Grizzop.
13.
15. All of you? Actually sleep okay.
Yay!
You wake up.
Why would you try and disrupt the one thing? The one thing!
You sleep okay.
Can't even give us that.
Do I need to give another one for whether I erupt in horrible zombie sores?
You know what?
Those necromancers were rubbish!
I'd complain that you're jumping the gun, but actually I'm a little bit proud of you seeing the pattern here. Eventually, you're going to be the only party that has 40 saves at the start of the day before you can even get
going. We'll actually get to a point where we dread sleeping.
Yeah.
It'll be like my
real life. Do you want to rest?
Do I get out of bed?
You wake up dead.
No, I don't.
So, can you give me a save?
What kind of save do you want?
That will be a fortitude save.
14.
14? Your wounds open a little bit, but you've only taken maybe the equivalent of say D6 damage. So let's say 1. You get 1 damage.
Oh yeah, how much do we heal?
You were all healed back
to
full.
Yeah, we got super healed
by
up.
All of the nice paladins.
Okay.
Before the mean paladins turned up.
Big mean paladins.
But yeah, you wake up and. You've, in the time that you've had this condition, you have woken up in a lot worse state than this.
Mm-hmm.
That's a perfectly manageable... Oh.
Yep.
It's a little bit of blood plus I slept funny. That's what you've got.
Ugh.
But yes.
My bones ache.
eventually, a fresh as a daisy looking Oscar Wilde rocks up and comes knocking at your doors.
And he's just prestidigitating. We all know that. Probably underneath it all, he looks like the portrait of Dorian Gray, not Dorian Gray itself. We're all aware.
If you want to judge, give me a sense motive.
No, this is just something that Sasha assumes. Whether
you don't have to.
So yeah, 25.
Bang on. There's not a chance that this guy went to sleep. He has been awake all night, and you are very experienced in people who are pretending not to live a double life and stuff like that. He looks fresh as a daisy, but there's also makeup under those eyes.
It shimmers. The glamour shimmers.
Hamid finally looks put together properly, but his colouring is a lot more sombre than it normally is.
Lots of blacks and greys.
Navies and very dark greens.
Okay, nice.
He doesn't wear monochrome.
Okay,
so still colour. So it's more, just a lot of sombre.
It's more autumnal.
Yeah.
Cool.
Like
okay.
he normally prefers bright greens and purples. But
well, I mean, we've got 20 minutes till the break, so I can keep digging into this.
He looks like
a
sad swamp. Not a happy moonlit pool or a lovely shining lake in the mountains.
So Grizzop, what are you sporting this season?
So Grizzop is looking a lot more cheerful and is still wearing his, breastplate and leather duster.
Very
thing.
In at the moment.
Yeah, but they are shined and they are darned and they are patched. And
very
he has
nice.
Two chicken legs in each hand and he is happily. Cool.
So the judges will be looking for uniqueness.
Okay, and this is why
nerve.
I want to be Miss Prague. I want to save
in the voice
and yes. talent.
So, yes, Wilde invites you for basically some breakfast. In what looks to be, again, a hall canteen. There are actually students now milling around, but there are Mars paladins everywhere and lots of plain-suited people that are clearly
meritocratic. All the bacon and eggs you had. No, no, wait, come back. I think what you heard was bring me a lot of bacon and eggs. What I said was bring me all the bacon and eggs you have.
Ooh, and 15 sausages.
So you are all sat in a canteen with other students eating huge amounts of food. Oscar Wilde is sat there with a coffee, just a coffee, kind of lounging. How are you all feeling?
Do you want a sausage?
I'm actually...
Are you sure?
Oh,
I
can
sausages.
Never turn it down.
There you go.
Oh my gosh.
So,
both in character.
Yeah, I know. I told you. I like this one, he's alright.
Will you please stop talking about me like I'm not here?
He won't.
But you are here, you're adorable.
He keeps... you will quickly find that the worst part about working with Oscar Wilde is just how annoying he is.
I'm going to lean into him and say, look, mate.
Yes?
Don't muck me around. Don't talk to me like a child. And don't you dare treat me like anything other than a paladin of Artemis. Are we clear?
I'm pretty certain this is how I treat all of the paladins of Artemis.
Yeah, right.
Like the best thing about working with Oscar Wilde is
he's
how
he's not there very much,
and he makes all of the violence, loss, and trauma actually seem pretty mild in comparison.
I'm going to look at Wilde and go,
I like these ones. They're funny.
He does pay us quite well, and we are doing good things.
Oh, that reminds me. He literally reaches under the table. Picks out a nice, heavy-looking and sounding bag.
Appraise check.
Don't sit in the middle of the table.
Appraise it. Oh, she only got a two, but on
like,
top of that is an eight, so 10.
Yeah. 10, okay.
Yeah. It's a lot of gold.
You know that
you can only get it to the first decimal point.
Again, he's paying in platinums rather than gold. Ooh. You know that it's more than, say, about 6,000, but you would have to sort of sit because there are some, like, jewels in there and, you know, breakfast, there's things going on. And plus, you can't make sure that other people can't see in the bag, so...
In this racket, she can't tell the sound of an emerald from a ruby.
Yeah, exactly.
Within a sack of a dozen other kinds of metal.
And the exact figure is 6,500, but of course you'll find that out later.
Okay.
You got a decent idea of what's in there. Consider that expenses. Of course, factoring our good paladin here.
Yes, well, I mean, we'll divide it three ways as standard operating procedure.
Do we owe any of it to Brute or since?
No.
Why Brute would you owe anything to the
Brute
dog?
Or is officially Bertie's heir. There was a will.
Right.
Yeah, so I was just wondering for, like, his labour, but we just that, no.
I mean, if you... I mean, it's your money to...
it's fine.
Wow. His contract ceases on death and...
Oh, okay, all right, yeah, grand.
I mean, you know, Bruto is still entitled to all the current property of the state, but he doesn't accrue any more after the death.
Wow. Okay.
That dog's got a lot of debt.
Ooh, I may have dodged a bolt there.
I don't think you were actually that close to being Naomi's heir.
You'd be surprised.
You'd be surprised.
I'm pretty certain I am.
So, what's going on?
Yes.
Right, can we get out of a place where everyone is looking at me through their massive metal faces like they want to kill me?
We can't really talk about the mission in public.
Of course. If you'll follow me. He wanders back to the office that originally he sort of lounged in. He seems to be setting up shop. He has, you notice that there's sort of like a cupboard to the side that's populated by his wardrobe and, you know, sets of shoes and stuff. He's very much making himself at home.
I hope you don't expect us to stay here long.
I do need to go and make a report to Captain Van Dyke.
She has been notified of your current situation.
I need to make a report.
Right, yeah. I'm pretty certain that's not going to happen for a while.
Why?
I mean, you can try.
No, just tell me why.
The university's in lockdown until they've completed all of their investigations. And you know what the
so
Mars
attractive.
Lot a lot. Yes, basically. Realistically, it's going to be a couple of days. They're extremely...
Couple of days?
Well, they're very thorough.
They're slow, is what you mean.
Every time I'm out of the sight of the three of you, I think they're moving towards me for some executing. They're
executing. In fairness, that's a pretty valid fear, actually. We should probably keep you out of circulation.
They definitely want to execute me.
Oh, absolutely.
And
yeah.
I mean, like, I would be fine with that, except that it's quite... Like, the geography of here is a bit... Like, it's quite hard to sneak around.
Well, also, I mean, they all have... I mean, most of them have detect undead at will, so, I mean, they can basically see you through
the
walls.
Wait, what? No. Am I detectable as undead? Do I, like, sort of goes almost like she's got bad breath? Do I have an undead, like...
No, but using magic, yes.
What?
Well, because you are.
I am not a zombie.
Can we get that fixed? Is there a way to...
You know what? I have no idea.
I can talk to Captain Van Dyke about it.
Yeah, give me a knowledge religion check as well.
That is a 13.
Let me double check the name. Well, fun story, actually. Clive the Paladin did actually spend some time undead, and you know that he was cured.
Oh, Clive, yes.
He's the one that has
the injury.
No arms.
Yeah.
No hands, no feet, and was dead for a while.
Yeah.
Like, you know that he was undead for a while.
So they did something with Clive, because he was undead for a bit. But look, so, I just want to be clear, right? Artemis doesn't like undead, but we're not like Mars. If you're doing good work and you're not horrible, then basically fine.
Right.
But generally, undead tend to be
horrible. So I'm an exception, am I? Right,
nope.
To the rule.
Yeah, that
nope.
sounds about right
no!
to my
okay,
understanding
right.
of the Artemis
no, you're not. Look.
I really regret
oh, not
all
an
that
exception.
Saving
goodness
the world
no,
stuff
no,
I've been doing.
Not,
I mean,
no,
I appreciate
it's been a lot
you.
Of hassle.
Not
really.
Just
Artemis,
I'm just warning you, because...
Paladin's very black and white and
no,
way they see the world.
Absolutely not true. Not Artemis.
Is there like a school of healing in this university of magic where there might be some expert that can fix what got done to me by Mr. Ceiling?
Probably not that hasn't had their teeth kicked in by a Mars person.
Yeah, that sounds about right, actually.
Well, if their teeth have been kicked in and they can't heal it, then they're probably not good enough.
No, no,
my...
they'll have verbal components. So
arcane magic doesn't tend to deal with the healing arts. You're really looking at celestial.
So what, so I can talk
religious...
to Captain Van Dyke?
Yeah.
So we sorted Clive out, so we can sort you out.
I mean, the Church of Aphrodite or the Church of Apollo are quite good at the healing arts.
As you started talking, like, Oscar Wilde slowly started to tune out and he's just doing paperwork on the desk for a bit.
So, Newton's rooms. Why is there anything to do with the simulacrum in Newton's rooms? We thought we were looking for Tesla's rooms.
Well, whilst you were running around and getting yourself involved in yet more hijinks, and by the way, thanks for that again.
He's always like this. Yes.
I was.
Yeah, that was
digging...
a job. That was my job, all right?
Oh, I'm very happy for you. Anyway, so yes, basically, while whilst that was happening, I did manage to arrive and start doing a bit of digging.
It would seem that Kafka and Tesla were working on something a while ago.
Thanks for the specificity of that.
And as part of that work, they were doing a lot of work where basically Edison appears to have been sniffing around after the fact. And to put the cherry on the cake, it would seem that the work continued after Edison departed, with the assistance of Liliana, who I believe was turning into quite the prodigy in her field.
She was always very talented. I can't believe she'd be involved in this, though. She wouldn't hurt a fly.
Well, I have little knowledge about the research beyond the fact that it interested Tesla and Edison was hot on his heels. And that Liliana, to all intents and purposes, is still inside the Newton study.
Let's
which,
just
of
go
course,
to Newton study, right? Yeah. There's probably whole mazes and labyrinths and monsters
I mean,
in
pocket,
there.
Pocket dimensions, I'd guess, really.
Yeah.
Well, as far as I'm aware, the only person who returned in the last 50 years from Newton study was actually Einstein. Obviously, we can't talk to him.
So, yeah.
Let's go and just be the next people to come out.
Yeah, like, it doesn't seem like there's very much left for me in this dimension.
I really
don't
like
you!
You, Grizzop. He's great.
You just did it.
Anyway.
Let's go before we kill Oscar Wilde. It's a great actual motivating factor for this party. Result you'll learn is basically right. Getting away from this guy.
Yeah, all right, cool. Shall we leave?
All right. Oscar Wilde proceeds to lead you towards, back towards the residence that you were in, where it was the sort of the deans and so on. And he proceeds to give you breakout a briefing that he's prepared at some point and is begin reading you. The brief notes being that Newton, known as a master of sort of planar works, planar travel, planar manipulation, etc., who walked in. The story goes walked into a study 200 years ago and just didn't ever walk out. From the outside looking in, everything looks normal, but a team of researchers about 40 years ago went in, and the only one that made it out was Einstein, and he was a bit funny when he came out the other end. As far as like the documents of interviews with Einstein after the fact were, he kept going on about a desert, and he kept going on about an oasis. And that was basically it. He was made a bit funny.
Should we make sure we're carrying plenty of supplies before we go in?
Yeah, desert oasis sounds like it.
You know, it would have been really useful having someone that could, you know, create water coming around with us right now.
Oh, well, I can do that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, can they all do that? Paladin, like...
Sort of.
People that worship gods.
Ish.
If we choose to, yeah.
Right. It's a very, it's quite a very simple, ability. Basic ability.
Oh, I thought it was because he was all ocean-y, you know?
No, honestly, like, no,
they
I mean,
can just all do it.
It's dime a dozen.
Right.
It's a little better than basically fetching it yourself, really.
Oh.
Well, in the desert, it's quite handy.
So, anyway...
Oh, it's fine, we've just forgotten all the people we lost like that. That's fine. Let's just keep going.
That's the attitude! He then makes it and leads you towards Newton study. Eventually, you find yourselves on the top floor of that residence where, obviously, all of the other offices and Kafka's were right in the basement was. Not the tower, which is obviously was Einstein's, but the top actual floor. And you find yourself staring the most mundane office door possible. You know, wood, slightly chipped. It has that kind of frosted glass with Newton on it in chipped black lettering on the door. And you can even see through the frosted glass to what appears to be a mundane study on the other side.
Right.
I have actually genuinely stopped on the way to just buy a bunch of food to stick in my bag of holding.
Oh yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, I'll get some.
Is it all like student takeaway?
It's just a load of menus and numbers to call.
Yeah.
It's stuff that will actually keep.
Lots of salted meats, I'm guessing.
Yeah, and travel bread.
Yeah. Don't go dwarven.
Elven travel bread. Lembas.
Better. But you find yourselves at the door to Newton study, and Wilde's just kind of next to you. Obviously, I'm going to be honest, my priority here is that you can find out whatever research was being done.
We'll see you back in your new office when we're done.
Great. Well, thanks a lot. It's been a pleasure. Grizzop.
See you. I wouldn't want to be...
oh, he's so sassy.
No, I think you're right. I think he really hates being himself. Look at him. Look at him go. That frozen smile.
You know what? Yeah, he does have a certain frozen smile quality, and he sort of jaunts off down the corridor and then down the stairs, leaving you alone.
Get some sleep, Oscar!
He just leans back, knew you cared, and then heads down the stairs.
He's just awful, isn't he?
Very, very irritating.
Oh, you don't even know the half. Yeah.
Right. Anyway,
yeah,
let's go in the scary study.
Before we go in, Hamid, if I grab you and throw you to safety again, please don't stop trying to do diplomacy on people. Like, would you speak? Just stay safe, right? We keep losing people, and I just, if I throw you to safety, run. Run, Hamid, run. That's when I shout run. That's the thing you do. You run. That's what you should do. You should
run. I'm sorry, Sasha. You do have a good point. Like, the thing is, I'm actually not very fast, and I worry that running away from things isn't going to be very effective most of the time. And I do think in that specific situation, those people could have been reasoned with. I mean, I know they're not the most reasonable people, but I will try.
Their priority seems to be executing me.
I agree, and if I had realised that ahead of time, I would have been much more keen on the running plan. I would try to be more sensible in future.
Right.
Cool. Let's
Thank you for the feedback.
Okay. Such managing.
I'll open the door.
Okay. And I will take a break there and be back in a couple of minutes.
When you're a business owner, the financial stuff can feel fiddly. Sometimes it feels like you spend more time on admin than actually running your business. That's why at Starling Bank, we've built a new kind of business account. One that helps you manage all your banking from your phone or desktop with no monthly fees, 24/7 support, and easy integrations with your favorite accounting software. So you can spend less time worrying about tax and more time enjoying this podcast. Starling Bank, helping business fly.
And welcome back. So you open the door. The door is opened, and you find yourself looking into a mundane, actually fairly small office compared to the others that you've seen. At the very far end of the room, which is, what, 10 feet, maybe 12, there's a very large desk, very, like, mahogany, really well made. It appears to have some knickknacks on it, like a paperweight and, like, a snow globe kind of thing, like a crystal ball, call it.
Is it a snow globe with a desert inside? So when you shake
it,
sand
moves. Give me a perception check.
Uh, 26.
No. it appears to just be a glass bauble of some kind. Mm-hmm. On the left hand side, there's a fairly large bookshelf, and
are there any books that are slightly differently coloured than the rest, sticking out at a slight angle to be pulled?
Give me a perception check.
We should be really careful in here, guys. I mean, much like Einstein, Newton was a master of teleportation. It's possible that anything in here is, you know, secretly an item of transport you to
and
somewhere.
And to the
new.
Right-hand side, you can see a door ajar, which looks like it leads to maybe some kind of bedroom.
Let's just search this room thoroughly first.
Can you detect magic?
I mean, yeah, but it's not. Some of it might be hidden as well. I do indeed cast detect magic.
Okay, cool. So you focus on the study, and you spot. You wake up on the floor.
Oh.
You have quite the headache.
You all right?
Yep, there's definitely some magic here.
Okay, cool. Right, well, that's not going to be very useful then.
Maybe not.
Okay, let's do this the old-fashioned way.
You did definitely get the sense that it was a benign school, so it wasn't anything like necromancy kicking around, but that's pretty much all you got before you were like... mind blown.
Bear with me a second. I step out of the room. I take out my food supplies from my bag of holding, because
mm-hmm.
you can't open a bag of holding in a pocket plane.
Yeah.
Move them to a normal bag.
Yeah.
Step back into the room.
You step into the room. Oh.
And say, shall we?
Yes. Right. Sure.
Search through everything to find out anything that's
all right.
out of place.
Perception checks.
Okay. Give me your perception checks.
28.
18.
15.
Everyone give me a fort save, please.
So many saves.
15. 11.
You're all okay, all right. So you enter the room, and yeah, you begin going your separate ways to, you know, have a search. And then things get very weird very quickly. Mm-hmm. With each step that you take away from the front door, the distance between you and the rest of the room seems to increase.
Oh, so it's like one of those dreams where you can never get to the door.
Yeah, that kind of thing. So, like, you take a step. The fort save is, there's a moment of proper nausea because, you know, you take a step and then it's like you've halved your height. And then you take another step and you've halved your height again. And basically the room, the further that you walk into that room, the more it just seems to stretch away from you.
Is it also getting bigger then?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Right, so let's stick together here.
Yep.
There is an awkward moment, though, where let's say that just for flavour, you all step in a different direction as you go through the door. The distance that you cover in that first step, looks like it's going to take you about 5 minutes. None, that's a big exaggeration. It looks like it's going to take you a bit of a walk to then meet up with one another, but one step, whoa, and you're all back together.
Okay, all step in the same direction at the same speed.
Yep.
I suppose it's time to sing a little marching song.
Right. I don't know any little marching songs.
Let's do...
I don't know this one. Which opera is it from?
I'm just trying.
So what is your direction that you're picking? Because obviously entering into the room might be slightly more complicated than entering the room. So where in the room are you aiming
forwards.
For?
Forwards.
Should we head for the desk?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, great. You start walking, you know, towards the desk. And yeah, again, there's that weird moment of like nausea as your perspectives are all warping, but you all, you know, are together with one another, and it seems that the most severe part of it is in the initial stages, but nonetheless you find yourself walking, you're walking along, and the room's slowly growing bigger, the room continues to expand, you find yourself shifting from medium to small
speak for yourself,
to tiny, and as you're going, this room is becoming effectively a cavern, just a vast, vast cavern.
Until eventually we are walking through the carpet in a lovely...
I've read this book.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes!
A complicated fibrous forest.
However, it's not a carpet.
Is it not? Is it wooden?
It's floorboards.
Oh.
As you walk, you find yourself starting what was... You know, as things keep going the way they are, the floorboards, which were varnished smooth, seem to have a bit more texture to them. Eventually, the slight ups and downs, till eventually the edges of the room start disappearing to your vision, and you find yourself, surprise, surprise, on a huge, effectively flat plane that's almost disappearing off into the distance. You can see in what appears to be, like, to your eyes, what you assume was the haze of normal distance, the desk at the far end, the walls on either side, and the door behind you, and you are just on a huge barren flat plane.
Wait, hang on a minute. Let's walk back and I'll start drawing a chalk line so we don't get lost once we lose our landmarks. I can hardly see the walls from here, so I don't really know, you know.
Okay.
Go back and mark our way.
Sure.
Turn around, walk back.
Okay, that's fine. Everything shrinks and returns. Cool. It doesn't appear to have, like... It doesn't appear to be a trap. It doesn't appear to be any kind of, like... It's not trying to get you.
Okay.
I guess he did say that he's a teleporter, so probably he can traverse it very quickly. People who can't teleport is like a mission. It also makes sense how people got lost in there.
Mm. Yep, well, here we go.
Yep.
Chalk out. Dragging it behind me,
mm-hmm.
and the chalk will get smaller with me,
mm-hmm.
so the line will relatively stay the same size.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Okay. On we go.
To accelerate time, you continue to walk. You reach the same period that you were at before, and it more or less seems to then stabilise. The room doesn't continue to shrink. So right at the edge of your vision desk, right at the edge of your vision, your doors and the door behind, and then it seems to sort of normalise at just massive instead of infinitely big or anything. However, you obviously... if you keep going until you run out of chalk, you do manage to do so. Because once it normalises, the distance seems to be fixed.
Okay, we keep going.
Okay, cool. So you spend the rest of the morning walking across the floor of the office, which is now this featureless plane.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you hit about lunchtime, and you do appear to be making some kind of, you know, movement across, but you're looking at, like, maybe 2-3 days of travel before you're going to make it to the desk. And how are you going to scale the desk?
I wonder if we could get a horse up here. Yeah.
I mean, it's basically... How long do we want to go in this for? Because,
Well, we're going to be on lockdown at the university for at least 2 days anyway, but I don't really want to spend a whole week. I mean, I've got to get back to my parents and the funeral.
Yeah. I mean, is this super important? We could go do something else.
Well, I'd like to find Liliana if we can.
Are we sure she's in here?
She came in and didn't leave.
I mean, there might be around the corner or around somewhere. When we get to the desk, it could be a whole, like, happy little civilization inside the chest of drawers. Like, she could have a whole palace made out of paperclips. Like, we don't know.
Let's stop for lunch and then keep going. I mean, I don't think a horse would cope with this, but we don't really have any faster ways to travel.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I'm out of ideas apart from explore this weird thing. Like, I'm not... This is, you know, arcane stuff. It's not, you know...
We're all knackered. There's nothing to do but walk. Unless you can detect anything.
Not unless it's undead.
Really want to try.
Literally, that's all I can do.
Well, I mean, again, to be fair, maybe there's another undead person here.
It's not that wide-reaching, honestly.
What would happen...
Wait, hang on a minute.
...if you fired an arrow?
What, back at the door?
Well, like, upwards. So I guess... Well, I don't know.
I'll give it a go.
Actually, not upwards. Straight up.
Or, okay. Oh, you know me,
you
Ben.
Yes, I aim it at a 80-degree angle.
An 80-degree angle, Ben?
Yes. In front of us.
Sure. So, it looses from your arrow, and it appears at first to just be, you know, flying through the air, but then there's a very definite sense of it warping a bit in terms of its size. Like, it'll swell and shrink and swell and shrink, and then it lands what seems to be an appropriate distance from you.
Okay.
But when it was at the top of its height, it started to go a bit...
weird.
Wibbly wobbly, but it did return. It does seem like this plane appears to be... You're past the transitional stage, basically.
Okay.
Give or take.
Well, since we can't fly... Yep.
But it does look like the effect might end, you know, as we get to the other end of the room.
Yeah, well, this is just like, what, an enchantment, right?
A few of hours. I mean,
could someone break it?
I'm sure this makes for... If anyone were to listen in on this, it would make for spectacularly thrilling.
I mean, sometimes we have to deal with a puzzle.
Let's go forward.
I mean, it has been, what, 80 episodes and I've given you one?
Yeah.
Puzzles.
This doesn't immediately turn boring.
Right.
I'm sorry, there is nothing for you to hit yet.
I want to hit things. I want to do a perception check.
Okay.
Sasha is stressed, bored and exhausted.
And agoraphobic, let's not forget.
Oh, yes. Gosh, oh, I goodness. Had actually forgotten that. She has nothing to hide against except for two small people.
It is a huge, flat, empty plane. The nearest thing is the chair of the desk, and that's maybe a day's walk away.
This would be like her hell because she doesn't even have a tank to flank against.
It makes sense. She's been quite tetchy up to this point.
She's very grumpy. Oh, gosh. Okay. Her perception is 16. Is there anything to hit?
Your perception is 16. Everyone else give me a perception check.
Natural 20.
No.
So 30 total.
So Sasha, as you're casting about looking for something, you see there's a weird, like, right at the edge of your vision, between you and the desk, there's a weird slight shimmer to the air. It's like a heat haze. And Hamid, when you spot that she's noticed something, you turn and heat haze seems to be the best description of it. It's that sort of wibbly wobbly that you get, that is like you're looking at a road in a hot summer's day, that kind of thing. It looks a few hours walk away.
Yeah, if we stay at the same scale, it would be a couple of hours walk away,
yeah,
maybe.
About that.
Alright, look, there's something over there. Let's walk towards it. Maybe we'll find some beautiful civilization of people that
someone
live...
Someone talked about a desert and an oasis.
Yeah,
maybe that's the oasis.
And this is the desert. That makes sense. It
does feel a bit desert-y.
I think we
it's
got
deserted, at least.
Yeah.
Alright, let's go. All
right. Eat as we walk.
So, a few hours pass and you are making decent headway. It looks like the desk is about another day's direct, like, no veering, no digressions. Another day, you'd be at the desk. However, as you're drawing nearer to that shimmer, it becomes apparent that it is a sort of like a localized phenomenon. I don't know how else to describe it. Mm. To your warped perceptions, it looks like it is the equivalent of, say, about 30 feet across. And it's coming from a specific point in this featureless landscape. And as you're approaching, it gets bigger. And actually, it looks like it's fanning out from the gaps between the floorboards, which obviously you're having to make a running jump to get past these. But it looks like it's coming out from between the cracks of one of them. It's fanning out, and then it just seems to dissipate.
Go over to it.
Yeah.
Shoot an arrow in, mate, before we stick our head in.
All right.
It passes through the shimmer, and it ends up on the other side. It still has that sort of wibbly-wobbly vibe to it, but it doesn't appear to be damaged or in any way. Everyone give me a perception check.
22.
16.
21.
Actually, okay, everyone apart from Hamid can tell from here, you know, as you get a bit closer, there is a distinct smell. And it is a smell, basically it smells like a massive amount of gas from, say, an unlit lamp or something like that.
Mm. Right.
So
our pipes burst or something.
To give you a sense of the scale, though, if, let's say that this was a leak, in real terms, it's a tiny, tiny little leak. But scale it up and suddenly, yeah, it looks like you're facing some kind of leak.
So if there's pressure on that, could we use it? Could we create some kind of parachute, hot air balloon situation, float up above it, and then be carried along?
I think the more difficult problem is going to be breathing.
I also love that's Sasha's solution to this. That's the most Sasha's solution to a problem I've ever heard. I love it.
She's in very terrible danger of becoming Batman.
I've got a tent.
Don't think we could create the appropriate lift, though, really.
I don't know how that works.
I'm more worried about being able to breathe if we're passing through a cloud of gas.
Hold your breath.
Yeah.
I mean, but if it takes us 20 minutes to walk across it.
It's only passing out through a floorboard. If it's a gas leak, it'll only be coming up, like, through the floorboards, right? So when you're on the other side, you know, even if it's in front of you, there'll be a pocket with a floorboard.
Everyone give me a wisdom. Just a straight wisdom check.
I'm not understanding.
Unnatural one.
That's fine.
3.
8.
Oh, no, 12 plus 3 is 15.
I love you guys. So a 1, a 15, and an 8.
Yeah.
Okay, the 1, yeah, that sounds about right.
Yes,
the 8, yeah, if we ran, probably be okay. The 15 will give you one extra thing. Let's not forget, it's a massive gas pocket of flammable gas, where even the smallest spark would cause the equivalent of a Hindenburg disaster for you. It's just people are too busy focusing on how to get by without breathing, and it's just kind of like a, also, you know.
We could make it explode.
Yeah. I mean, I could set it alight, or you could use one of your bombs, but I don't see how that helps us.
Well, would
it be a massive explosion?
Would it?
I mean, only to our scale, it'd be like a small flame on the scale of the room.
If you burnt the room down, would it break the enchantment?
I mean, playing to that wisdom check there, Grizzle.
I don't think it is going to burn the room down. I mean, it's going to be quite...
Well, if it's not, then let's give it a go.
Dangerous to us.
But it'll burn off all the gas, so you'll worry about breathing.
We should be at a very safe distance first.
I can fire an arrow very, very far, and it could be on fire.
I like that idea.
Let's do that.
It doesn't sound safe, but I have a better idea.
We're in Newton's study and no one else has done
that
50 years. It's not
leak,
safe.
Once it's burnt away the excess, it will just create a small flame.
Yeah, which we can walk around.
Which we could probably walk around. It would be like a bonfire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This sounds perfect. And pretty foolproof. Good suggestion,
Sasha. I think we're quite far away now, aren't we?
No, but further than this. I think we should be further than this.
Oh, no, I can... I can fire this arrow quite far. 110 feet, I think.
Right, well, let's
give
back
or take.
Up.
No feet.
No, I think we should be further away than that. I reckon if you choose the right angle, you could probably get it further. Because it doesn't need to be very accurate, remember.
Oh, my God.
It just needs to pass through the pocket of gas.
Look, okay, I know how to fire an arrow.
Let's back up. until we're about...
Slam cut. You are an appropriate distance from the gas. See, Chris Hopper appears to have an arrow and bow in hand and is ready for the shot.
Right, do it. I mean, it'll attract attention, right?
Light it.
Yeah. Light it, hammer it.
I cast prestidigitation, concealing the lighter I carry with me at all times.
Yes, you do.
To make it look like I'm lighting it with my thumb.
This is lit.
Fancy.
A massive plume. You ever seen like a gasoline explosion? You know that really mucky,
that's cool, that
huge
is.
Plume.
We can feel the heat.
Oh yeah. Like it isn't pushing you backwards. It hasn't got a concussion wave, but it is just a fireball. It is huge.
Wow.
Yeah.
If I didn't know that that was probably actually tiny, that'd be quite impressive.
Like, yeah. Again, if you were doing it to scale, it's like you've blown up multiple buildings huge.
Right.
However...
Well, I hope that Liliana, that she lights fire. Maybe she'll come to us.
It's a good signal. Yeah. She is around.
A plume of smoke starts going up as the flame burns itself down and reduces itself to a small wall of fire.
Oh, that's nice.
How long's the wall?
Leapable.
Yeah.
So in terms of width, yeah, it's, you know, a 5-minute walk that way, a 5-minute walk that way, or you could just do a running jump over it. It's...
I'm going to go round. Yeah.
Sasha's going to jump over it.
Oh, you're gonna not go in a straight line towards the desk. Okay.
Look at his eyes. Look at his little face.
Yeah.
I don't want to be a killjoy, but we have this landmark and it's a wall of fire that goes in a straight line across the room.
Sure, yeah. That's how it seems, yeah.
Yeah. Sasha's gonna be like, I'll see you on the other side.
Right.
And jump straight across on an acrobatics check.
Yes, please.
And that's 8 plus 12, so 20.
Bing. She sticks the landing. The judges are impressed.
All right, see you in a bit.
We go right.
Yeah.
Sure. You successfully circumnavigate very easily.
So while we're walking,
so how are you holding up?
I don't know. I feel like I'm still in shock, really.
Okay, well, keep focusing on the job.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah, there'll be time for stuff later.
Well, we've got to get back for the funeral.
Yeah, don't worry. It gets easy. You get used to it in my line of work. Apart from Clive, he seems to stick around. But yeah,
it's like a bad stain, Clive.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's all right.
Give him a pat on the back and then keep on walking. Playing an actual character with bedside manner.
What's it like having charisma, Ben?
Great.
So, yes, you managed to circumnavigate and rejoin with Sasha. What have you been doing in that time? You had 15 minutes to kill. They took ages. They could have just run and jumped.
Juggling knives.
Of course. Of course, standard. Anything to pass the time, really.
All right. Well, that's good.
Do you have any chalk left?
No. Well, hang on a minute.
We've now got a nice...
No, I just meant if anyone comes to the fire looking for us...
I've got a crayon.
We could leave an arrow pointing which way we've gone.
Hmm. Yeah, I've got a crayon.
Might as well.
Go for it.
Right, I'll start drawing a red crayon.
Right.
Okay.
Oh. Just an arrow saying, we went this way.
Oh, all right. Yeah, sure.
You'd be amazed if you draw a constant line over days of travel, how quickly they run out. Sure. Okay, I presume that you start walking towards the desk again.
I'll do each floorboard.
That makes sense.
Say we went this way.
Yeah, that makes sense. So I'm going to skip ahead to jumping across floorboards and stuff, just for the sake of keeping things moving. Otherwise, it's a chasm check every time. Mm. So you keep going. You've come to realise something, which is you think you've done a day's decent march. You've marched across this. You made it past the gas thing in mid afternoon.
Oh, there's no day night cycle.
And you've kept going, and the sun appears to be a fixed point. Shining in through the window, no time has passed.
Oh.
Brilliant.
That saves. Well,
it means we won't be late.
Wait, hang on a minute. Is this actually taking time off my life? Is our time working?
I mean, I feel hungry, so.
Yes. Oh no! What? No, I can't have that! I'm aging! This is awful!
Wait, what? Are you immortal?
No,
I'm just aging. Like, we're not doing anything. This isn't actually... Like, there's no time passing. That means that there's... Like, it's removing time from our lives.
We're
going to live... No, but we're going to live fewer days in, like, the normal time.
Mate, none of my life is normal time.
Not many fewer.
Mm.
Enough! That's enough! No, this is terrible!
Oh, they have really short lives, don't they, goblins?
Yes, yes, I know.
Well, Sasha doesn't, I don't think.
No, I don't think Hammett does either.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just, it might be a couple of days at most. Yeah, I mean,
this, no, all right, let's go. Let's make it quick. let's make it quick.
Do you have something to get back to? Because that then is a...
Generally, life's work, you know, Paladin of Artemis.
We are working.
You know, I don't have that.
We're working right now.
Let's go. Yeah, let's go. Let's work quick.
Yeah.
Okay. So you've done a full day's march. Are you just going to march through the inverted commas night, or are you going to have a nice rest and a...
We'll probably have to rest for a few hours just because of sheer tired.
Yeah, absolutely.
But without the day and night cycles, basically we stop when we're too tired.
Yeah. Like, so, but that might mean just sitting down for 2 hours rather than sleeping.
Let's put it this way. If you don't take an 8-hour rest every 24 hours, you are going to be taking penalties.
Yeah. Yes. So genuine question, does anybody have a way of telling the time? No. Because sundials don't work. There's no sunlight. Or like there is just sunlight. So we actually will just completely lose track of time. Mm-hmm. There's nothing that says, like, we know. Can't even survival checks.
there are no markers or any way for you to tell how much time is passing now.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, it could be that for all the people that left, you know, like 50 years ago, for them it's just been an afternoon.
That's true. Or, wait, no, the other way around.
Yeah, more likely the other way around.
They probably died here.
How long has Liliana been here? Oh, dear.
Right. I think I'll end the episode on that incredibly somber, depressing note.
Yep, that sounds pretty normal with our episodes.
Happy,
pulpy fun season two.
This is
Hamid's
fun.
One true love has died of old age.
I might be reverting to the mean here.
I mean, I'm just...
Yeah. You're certainly reverting to meanness.
Yes, reverting?
Yeah. When were you ever away from the mean?
Bye, guys.
Bye.
We did have fun that time we were doing puns about sea creatures.
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by RustyQuill.com and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial International License. Today's episode was recorded and produced by Alexander J. Newell. To comment on episodes, make donations, and view links, images, videos, and show notes, visit RustyQuill.com. Rate and review us on iTunes. Visit us on Facebook. Tweet us on Twitter at TheRustyQuill or email us at mail@RustyQuill.com. Thanks for listening.
A very Stranger Things moment.
That's a useful thing to have, though.
I'll isolate that. That's a boss from at least Magnan season 3 in there. Maybe Magnan season 4.
Wait, do you want us to just like burp and fart into the mics for like
for Foley?
Again, yes. So.